Thank you for joining us today. For more information about our service times, visit okoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at okoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
Listen, if you have your Bible, can you take it out and hold it up as we decree and declare this? Can you repeat this after me? Can you say, "This is my Bible, God's holy word. I am what it says I am. I will do what it says for me to do. I place myself under the authority of God's word. It says I am blessed, therefore I am blessed. It says I am an overcomer, therefore I overcome every obstacle, every challenge, and every hindrance through the name above every name, Jesus Christ. I open my heart and I open my mind to receive God's word. I receive this word and I confess this word in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen." Well, we made it. Amen. We are at the end of the year, just a few more 12, 13 hours left, and we are kissing 2023 goodbye. That's a wrap, baby. Amen. Listen, I don't know about you. I ain't sad to see 2023 go. 23, never mind. Never mind, never mind. I'm going to get myself in trouble. I am so thankful that this year is coming to an end. For me, it's been personal. For me and my wife, it's just been a challenge. If it could go wrong, it went wrong, and it's just been like crazy. But I can tell you this, through it all, I've seen the faithful hand of God in everything. I don't know about you, but can anybody say that the Lord has been faithful to them in 2023? You know, Pastor declared a prophetic work at the beginning of 2023, and it was this: God, do it again. And I can genuinely say that the Lord has done it again. He has brought us through. He has been faithful. And I am so, so thankful. And so I really love the week between Christmas and New Year's, because it's really this great week where you get to have some time to slow down and reflect and have perspective as you reflect on the old year and you look forward to the new year. It's New Year's resolution time, and it's what am I going to do to change and be a better person this new year? And so this week, as I was reflecting on 2023, like I said, it was a pretty difficult year. Some of the things were out of my control, and some of them were self-inflicted. And so I feel that it's appropriate to share one of my self-inflicted difficulties of 2023. And so it really just happened quite recently, maybe 6 weeks ago. Disclaimer, I'm a sucker for a good subscription service. Listen, when they lay it out and you get such a good deal if you just pay every month for the rest of your life, but it's such a great deal. And so I got suckered into a subscription service for going to the movies. And so I pay $9 a month, and how it works is you get a movie ticket for that $9. We're already off to the races. A movie ticket costs $11 right now. So I'm already getting a deal on that movie ticket. So that $9 movie ticket, you know what's great? If I don't use it that month, it just goes into a bank and it sits there, never expires, and I can just use it whenever I want. That is a great deal. So, I went onto my account. It had been a while since I had logged in. I'll just be honest with you. It had been a while. To be honest, I hadn't logged in since I've been married. 2 weeks from now, I celebrate 6 years of marriage. So I found out that I had 84 movie tickets. That's not something to be proud of. I've been paying for them bad boys for 7 years. And I got them before I was married. I got this prescription. And so I had to go and tell my wife. I said, honey, I don't even know if you remember we got this subscription. She was under the impression it had been canceled years ago. And I said, you know, we got a great thing going. We are set on the movies. 84. Now, to put it in perspective, since I've had the subscription, they've only ever issued 86 movie tickets. So I used it once and have not touched it since. And if I'm being honest with you, I did this 6 weeks ago, and I didn't cancel the subscription. I just put it on a three-month pause. Because I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to go to the movies. I might be able to make this through. I'm in denial, y'all. And so I've determined during worship, I didn't bring this up in first service, but during worship, I determined I'm not bringing that movie subscription into 2024 with me. I'm going to leave it behind. So I tell that story for two reasons. First, I invested quite a bit of money, so I needed to get some worth out of it. So telling it to you all brings some value. And then second is, if anybody's interested in some movie tickets, you can see me after service. But I tell this funny story, and it's a completely true story. I could rent out a whole movie theater. I tell this funny story because I really think that it speaks to an underlying situation in our lives. And it's that we allow ourselves to become oblivious to what is renewing in our life. You see, Romans chapter 12 talks about the renewing of our mind and the renewing of our spirit. And we have to make a conscious decision every day to renew our mind and our spirit. But can I tell you this? There are times in your life, if you're not renewing your spirit and you're not renewing your mind, you are renewing something else. Whether you know it or not, you are renewing something. You see, something is renewing daily, either your spirit or your flesh. You see, if you're not feeding your spirit man, then your earthly and fleshly man can begin to eat and can begin to fester. And you see, I love this week because at the end of each year, we get to take a few moments and challenge ourselves to evaluate our lives. And I want to encourage you at the end of this year, take a moment and look deeply into your life. Identify what things are not of God that I am ignoring and need to deal with in my life. Perhaps you're caught in this vicious cycle of procrastination. If I'm being honest, that's probably where I was on the movie ticket situation. Because it wasn't that I didn't know. It's just I didn't want to think about it. You ever been there? You know you got to do something, but you don't want to think about it because you don't want to do it, so you just put it off. And maybe you're not a procrastinator like I am, but I don't want to think about it. And when it comes up, I'm like, it usually comes up right when I'm going to sleep, and I'm like, I can't think about that right now. I gotta sleep. And so I push it off and I push it off. But what happens is the longer you push it off, then you begin to fear it. And what you fear, you don't want to deal with. And so what happens, you're 6 years later, what started as just a couple of dollars that you wasted now has landed you in the doghouse. And I got a mortgage payment and movie tickets. Lord, how I could use that. But because I didn't want to deal with it, I put it off. And perhaps you can identify some things in your life that they don't seem like a big deal, but maybe 2 years ago it wasn't a big deal, and maybe 2 years ago you could have dealt with it real quickly, but you have allowed it to just fester, and you've allowed it to keep happening. And what happens 2 years later, now you're engulfed in it. That's how sin works. It's not because you're a bad Christian. It's not because you're a bad person. It's because you are allowing underlying things to go undealt with. And I want to encourage you, today is the day to bring it to light and to deal with it. Perhaps you're out of sight, out of mind. Because you don't have to focus on it, you're forcing and allowing yourself to be oblivious to it. As Christians, we have an obligation to evaluate our lives. We have an obligation to sit down and to meditate and to think about, what am I doing with my life? Am I being the disciple that I am meant to be? You see, it is vital for us as Christians to deal with our underlying issues rather than passing them by and just ignoring them. So I want to ask you this question: what do I need to wrap up this year and leave behind? One of the things I need to leave behind is an expensive subscription. And maybe you have a subscription that I just reminded you of that you need to go cancel. Perhaps it's a little more spiritual. Maybe there are some things in your life that you're saying, you know, I've allowed myself to fester and to sit in those negative thoughts for too long, and I'm allowing myself to be the victim. I need to leave that behind. You see, this morning we're going to follow the journey of three men. And these men saw a God-sized opportunity, and they took it. You see, they entered into a journey of a lifetime. And I want to encourage you, my purpose for this message is less about a New Year's resolution, and it's more about finding a rhythm to a Christ-centered life. You see, it's not something that you can just say, this year I'm going to be a better Christian. This year I'm just going to do. Because you'll try that, and you'll be like, I'm going to read the Bible in 30 days, which is great. But by day four, you give up, you're defeated, and it's like, hey, let's read the Bible over the whole year. Let's find rhythms. Let's not be so hardcore. If you can do it, I would encourage you, do it if you can. But if you've never read in the Bible before, it's probably not realistic to put those type of expectations on yourself. I believe each and every one of us today are being called toward a journey of a lifetime. The same way that the three wise men went on a journey, each and every one of us have an opportunity to go on a journey with the Lord. And I believe it is up to each and every one of us. So if you have your Bible, we're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.' Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, 'Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I may go and worship him too.' After this interview, the wise men went away, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God warned them in a dream not to return to Herod." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, today I just ask, God, that you will open our hearts to receive your word. God, I pray, Lord, that you will use me and anoint my tongue to speak your word and your will today. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're taking notes, my first point is this. Who were the wise men? Verse 1 says that about that time, some wise men in eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem. You know, our knowledge about who the wise men were is quite limited based on Scripture. And there's all kinds of theories of who the wise men were, where they came from. Some people say that they know their names, but the Bible specifically is silent on those things. And so there's only a few things that we can pull directly from the Scripture. And those are some things that I want to pull out today from the text. And so the first thing I want you to know about the wise men is they were Gentiles. You see, the wise men were Gentiles. It says they were coming from an eastern land, so we understand that they were not coming from anywhere inside of Israel. They were coming from an outside place. They were not Jewish. They were Gentile. And the reason this is important is because that brings validity to the gospel that it is for everyone, not just for Jews. It is for Jews and Gentiles alike. And why is that so important for you today? It is because this, 99% of us in this room are Gentiles. And the gospel is accessible to us today. And it was accessible not just at the cross, but at the cradle. They were educated men. You see, they were astrologists. They studied the stars. This isn't something of their time that was a hobby. This was something that they would have devoted much time to. And for them to have been able to notice when a random star appears, I don't know if you've ever looked up to the stars. I couldn't tell you if it was there the night before or not. It's just a cloud of stars. They were well educated for their time. They knew what they were talking about. They would have been wealthy. How do we know they would have been wealthy? Can you take 2 years off of work? I can't. I got to go to work on Tuesday because I got bills to pay. But the wise men were able to go on this journey, which would have taken close to 2 years. So it would have been very sacrificial on their end. So we can infer that they would have been wealthy to be able to do this. And then lastly, what I want you to know is they were influential. How do we know they were influential? When you go into a city, you aren't normally asked to be seen by the king. A normal person going into the city of Jerusalem would not have been asked to have a private meeting with the king to find out what you're doing there. But as soon as they get into Jerusalem, the first thing that Herod does is he says, I need to see them. I need to meet with them. I need to have a private meeting to figure out what's going on. Because these are some important people coming to my city, and I need to know what is going on. But as I read, something that I really believe is about these men is these were men that were searching for answers. These were men that were looking for the meaning and purpose of life. And can I tell you, they found it in Jesus. They were looking for the mysteries of the universe. They were looking for the mysteries of humanity. And they found it in Jesus. So I ask us to evaluate, who are you and what are you looking for? If someone was to look back at your life, how would they be able to categorize it by outside looking in? Not what you want them to remember, but what will someone from the outside looking in remember about you? What if this sermon was being preached about you? Would I have anything to preach? One of my favorite things that Pastor will jokingly tell some people is this. He'll say, listen, don't make the preacher have to lie at your funeral. Listen, I don't want to lie at anybody's funeral. So let me ask you this. If you were to die today, would you be remembered how you desire to be remembered? I want to encourage you. Being remembered, you're not going to be remembered for a monumental moment in your life. It is about the consistent day-to-day steps of your life that you will be remembered for. The greatest memory I have of my grandfather is that he was just faithful. It wasn't a singular sermon that he preached. It wasn't a singular moment of his life. It was a consistent day-to-day life. What are you looking for in life? Are you looking for purpose? Are you looking for meaning? Are you looking for peace? Are you looking for self-worth? What are you looking for in life? Because we're all looking for something. We're all desiring something. We're all needing something. And I can tell you this, whatever you're looking for is found in Jesus. Whatever you're looking for is found in Christ. Maybe you're in here. And you are just like the wise men 2,000 years ago. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But you come to this house because you're searching for answers. And you're saying, I'm lost and I'm looking. I want you to know if that's you, you found your answer. Jesus is the answer. Perhaps you've been saved for a long time. Perhaps you have been a Christian for majority of your life, but in this last season, you've begun to struggle and you've begun to wrestle and you've begun to have self-doubt, and there's all these things clouding your mind and you're getting confused. I want to tell you, it's okay. It's okay. It is okay to wrestle with God. There are times in your life where you will have to wrestle with God, because at some point, it can no longer be your parents' faith. It has to become your faith. At some point, you can no longer live off of the faith of your spouse, and you have to get the faith for yourself. And a lot of times, it's going to take the wrestling with the Lord. But can I tell you this? When you have to wrestle with God, don't do it in isolation. One of the worst things that has come out of this generation is that they believe that they have to separate themselves in order to wrestle with God. Can I tell you, that's a lie from the enemy. If you're wrestling with the Lord, I want to know, because I want to encourage you. I want to speak life over you. Because what happens when the enemy can separate you, he will begin to decimate you. That is why we have such a plethora of this new type of theology, which is this theology of deconstructing your faith. And can I tell you this? Deconstruction and isolation will lead to your destruction. It will destroy your faith in the Lord. It will destroy, because what happens is when you're searching and you're wrestling, you're not always thinking straight. And if you don't have people in your lane and on your side to help you walk through and to help you wrestle with these things with the Lord, what happens is you will become and get these twisted understanding of who God really is. You see, my desire for you in 2024 is this, that you will not walk alone. Because the enemy wants to get you alone so that he can try and discredit who God is, and so that he can try and get you to fear and to doubt. But if you will not allow yourself to walk it alone, and you will be able to say, you know, I'm struggling with my faith right now. I'm struggling with who God is to me right now, because I know that he's a father, but he doesn't feel like a father right now. I know that he loves me, but I don't feel his love right now. When you walk through those difficult seasons, I know that he's supposed to be my peace, but I don't have any peace right now. When you go through those seasons, when you put yourself together with someone, you get arm in arm with them, what happens is when the enemy comes to put and to seed those lies, and when the enemy comes to try and decimate and destroy you, what he finds is he finds someone that is arm in arm with other believers that are speaking life over them. So every time that the enemy tries to sow seeds of doubt, they can sow seeds of assurance. And for every time that the enemy tries to say that you're not loved, you have people there that say you are loved so greatly. You are loved beyond all. And so that is why it is so important If you don't hear anything, hear this. You are going to walk through seasons of your life where you're not going to hear God. It's going to be difficult to discern his vision for your life. It's going to be difficult to see what he's doing. Keep yourself surrounded by like-minded believers, because you are going to need them in those seasons to keep you grounded and to keep you arm in arm in this journey of faith. The journey of faith, the journey of your lifetime, and the rhythms of Jesus is not meant to be done alone. It wasn't one wise man, it was three wise men. God didn't call them to go on the journey alone. He called them to do it together. And I want to encourage you. There are people in your life that want to do life with you. There are people in this church that will do life with you. Verse 2, they say, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we came to worship him." My second point is this: the journey begins. You see, the wise men were given a sign, and they chose to follow it. It says that we saw his star as it rose. Now, we don't know how many people saw the star, but I can tell you this, these three wise men weren't the only astronomers in the world. How many people saw the star, but were not moved by it? How many people admired it, but said, it's not worth me figuring out what it really is? Can I tell you, the same is in each and every one of our lives. I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, there are times in your life where God will reveal a sign and he will give a word, and there will be people that see it, admire it, and then ignore it. And then there are going to be people that see it and grab hold of it and say, I'm going to go where it is leading. In 2024, I do not want to be a spectator. I want to be a participator. I desire to participate, not just spectate. That's why every time that this altar is open, you know who the first person down in this altar is? Me. I get down there because it is not good enough for me to see you get a touch from God. It's not good enough for me to say, man, God touched the house. It was so cool. And I'm just sitting in the corner watching God do it. That's not good enough for me. I'm not a spectator. This is not a spectating sport. This is an all participation sport. Can I tell you this? In the upper room, there were no spectators. There were only participants. That is how we are meant to be. If you come to church just to watch people get touched in the altars, I want to encourage you, get in the altars yourself. See what God can do for you. See how God can touch you. You get so blessed and amazed by seeing how God's given somebody breakthrough in this altar, yet you won't come. I want to encourage you. Don't be a spectator. Be a participator. You see, this journey and this rhythm that we're talking about, it's costly. It isn't something that you can just get and it not change you. You see, the wise men saw the star and it cost them something to go find out what it was. 2 years of their life, it cost them something. Your journey with Jesus should cost you something. Can I tell you this? You shouldn't always be able to have the same friends after you get saved that you had before you get saved. There's some of them that you're gonna have to let go. You can't listen to the same music that you listened to before you were saved. You can't watch the same TV shows that you watched. There are things in your life, you can't go to the same places you used to go. Because there are things in your life that change and it costs you. It's called denying your flesh. And in Western society, we put emphasis on the starting line and we don't really talk too much about the race. Salvation is the starting line. Sanctification is the race, and heaven is the reward. Can I tell you that? Salvation is the starting line so that you can enter into a life of sanctification, so that one day when we finish and we hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," I want to encourage you. Maybe you're here today and you have conquered and understand the concept of the moment of salvation. But you're saying, it's hard for me to carry my salvation out of this room. It's hard for me to carry my salvation in my house. It's hard for me to carry my salvation at work. It's hard for me to carry my salvation in my friend groups. I'm struggling with that. Can I tell you, this year, 2024, may you make it a priority that your salvation costs you something. Enter into a true journey with Jesus. Verse 9, after this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Point number 3, lay your gifts at the feet of Jesus. You see, when the wise men saw Jesus, the first thing that they did is they bowed down and worshiped him. Can I tell you, the first thing that you should do when you come into this house is to worship the Lord. That is why we gather, so that we can worship Jesus. And then they laid their gifts unto him. They gave him gifts. They laid them at his feet. Can I tell you, each and every one of us get to make a decision whether we will lay our gifts at the feet of Jesus. Now, this is a principle for tithing. We need to tithe. I'm a believer for tithing, but there's also a spiritual thing here that I want us to catch. It's not just about your money. You have to lay the giftings that God puts inside of you. You see, when you're created, God puts giftings inside of you. When you were in your mother's womb, he gave you some giftings that he didn't just give to everybody else. And those gifts, Romans tells us, those gifts are given without reproach, meaning he doesn't take those back. If he gave you a gift to sing, you're going to be able to sing. And you can either sing for Jesus or you can go and sing for the world. But he doesn't take your gift away if you go and give your gift to the world. No, because he gave you that gift and he's not going to take it back. But it is our choice that when God gives it to us, do we give it back to him? And because there's a difference between the gifting and anointing. And when you give your gifting to the feet of Jesus, then he'll anoint that gifting. And that's a whole nother sermon, and I ain't got time to get into all that. But I want you to know this. Each and every one of us have a decision to make. Do I lay my giftings at the feet of Jesus? Perhaps you're in here and you're like, well, I don't know. I don't have any special giftings. I can't sing. I can't preach. Here's what I would encourage you to do. Go to Growth Tracks. We talk about it all the time. Go to Growth Tracks. We have a great spiritual gifts assessment. You take that spiritual gifts assessment, it will help identify the giftings that God has put inside of you. Not man-made giftings. These are giftings from God. And then we help you find a place to lay that gifting down at the feet of Jesus so that you can effectively give your life to Jesus. I just want to bring this side note. The meaning of the different gifts, it has great meaning, and you can do studies into what the gold, frankincense, and myrrh mean, but they also had great value. And so the value of this would have been extraordinary to Mary and Joseph. It would have absolutely changed their life. And can I tell you, I believe that a big reason why the wise men gave those gifts is it was God showing Mary and Joseph that what I've called you to, I will provide for. Because as soon as the wise men left, they had to flee to Egypt. As soon as the wise men left, they had to run for their lives. And what that gifting did, it would have paid for their escape to Egypt. It would have paid for them to survive in a foreign land. And it would have paid for them to return to Nazareth. It was God making a way and providing. And I want to tell you something. If God calls you to do it, he will provide a way. You might not see how it's going to be provided right now, but can I tell you, people are on the way. God has already been there. And the wise men, it says, when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route. And my last point is this. You can't leave the same way that you came. You can't leave the same way that you came. You see, the wise men, after having an encounter with Jesus, couldn't go back the same way that they had come. And I want to encourage you, when you've really had an encounter with the Lord, when you've really been touched by Jesus, you're not the same. And I want to encourage you, don't leave this year the same that you entered it. I don't know how you entered 2023, but I am encouraging you right now. We are about to have an altar. Lay it down and allow Jesus to touch you. Allow Jesus to change you. Allow Jesus to have a moment with you. And when you have that moment, you can leave this year. And you can say, I'm not leaving 2023 the same way that I came. There's a lot of people that are dealing with things that it's not just been 2023. It's something you were dealing with in 2015. It's something you were dealing with in 2003. It's something you were dealing with in 96. It's something you were dealing with in 85. It's something you were dealing with in 64. Not all you that young. They're called generational curses. There's things that it was your daddy had to deal with, your mama dealt with. Well, my family's always struggled with alcohol. I'm not going to overcome that. That's just the vice and the demon that is in our family. Can I tell you this? If you will not slay your Goliath today, you are leaving it for your children to have to slay. I want to encourage you, don't leave 2023 without dealing with the things that you've been trying to. The things that you've been trying to say aren't a big deal, but they're really keeping you from everything that God has for you. I want to encourage you, today is the day that the Lord can do it. Because today is the day that we are coming to the feet of Jesus. Today is the day that we are going to lay it down at his feet. We are going to give everything back. We're not going to be spectators anymore. I've been spectating for too many years. I've been watching people get touched, and I've been watching them have encounters with God, and I'm happy for them, and I think it's awesome. But it's time for me to stop watching them get touched, and it's time for me to lift my hands and to say, God, if you're going to do it for somebody, do it for me. God, if you're going to do it for somebody, do it for me. If you can do it for them, you can do it for me. And church, I don't know about you, but in 2023, I want to come in arm in arm saying, God, this is the house where we are going to lay down our lives and we are going to pursue you together. We are going to pursue your presence. We are going to say, God, it doesn't have to be a church down the road. It can be this church. It can be this moment. It can be me. It can be my family. Can we all just stand together? Lord, today, as we close out 2023, God, we take a moment to inspect and reflect. Lord, we want to be people after your heart. We want to be made like Christ day after day. God, we understand salvation is a journey. And God, we are seeking after that journey. Today, we are seeking to be molded by you.